This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Cooper Boardman, on WEEI.
CG. CG. On Red Sox Review right now. Welcome. Fenway Park, live right now. Cooper Boardman with you. Tanner Houck just threw a complete game shutout on the field that I'm looking at right now. 2-0 Sox win over the Cleveland Guardians. Hour 49 minutes. That means we got bonus time. Seconds, minutes, hours with you until 11 p.m. on Red Sox Review. Zach Kobach inside the flagship. Cooper Boardman here. 617-7797-937. 617-7797-937. Text line 237-937. Wow. Just wow. I was just sitting here, and this is one of these nights. And look, we've been talking a lot over the last couple of weeks. Just about everything. And I was thinking about some of the conversations about baseball and what we want it to look like and what we want it to feel like and what we want the Red Sox to look like and what we want the Red Sox to feel like. And tonight was one of those nights here at Fenway Park, and I hope it came through on your radio, on your TV, if you've just gotten the car or whatever. I hope that it came through what a special night this was to watch. You know, this guy, drafted by the Red Sox, homegrown by the Red Sox, all the way up through every rung of the minor league system by the Red Sox, in the bullpen, in the rotation, cast aside, injured, back, hit in the face by a line drive, back, into an offseason where people said, we need to go out and get, you know, four starters because this guy can't start. And what he's done, not only tonight, but over the course of the start of this season, what Tanner Houck has done over four starts in his major league season in 2024, and what he did tonight, a complete game shutout, the first since Michael Wacha in 2 years, over an hour and 49 glorious minutes here at Fenway Park, Tanner Houck does it. And, man, that is just an amazing, amazing thing. There's so many angles of this, and yeah, you know, you've not won a playoff game tonight, but on a night where, shoot, in just the context of the season, the Red Sox so badly needed the length and needed somebody to give them something with Garrett Whitlock put on the IL. By the way, Tanner Houck's good buddy Garrett Whitlock earlier on today, they needed it bad, and he, like, not only did you need, like, a rising tide, he brought you Noah's Ark tonight for the Red Sox. A complete game shutout for Tanner Houck at Fenway Park. And the first complete game of his major league career, obviously in the context of that, the first complete game shutout of his major league career. He threw 32 pitches through three. He threw 65 pitches through six. 74 pitches through seven, 86 through eight, and in the end, an eight-pitch ninth inning. He throws a 94-pitch, nine-inning, complete game shutout against the Cleveland Guardians. If there had been a 10th inning, Tanner Houck would have been on the mound for the 10th inning with the efficiency and the quality and more than anything else, the consistency, which is something that he has so desperately searched for. At times, it has felt, watching him and seeing him and being around him and seeing him as a starting pitcher, that maybe that consistency would never come. But it came tonight, and it's been here. It's been here since the start of the season. It's been here since the spring that he had so strong, high velocity. And tonight on April 17th, it is... I don't want to call it an arrival because it implies as though like he has not been good over the last month, but this is an announcement. This is a very big blaring letters, neon lights deal tonight for Tanner Houck, because the Red Sox have not had this over the last couple of years, and they got it in full force here tonight. Cooper Boardman with you. It is Red Sox Review live on WEEI 617-7797-937. 937-37-937. We got a lot to do. We're going to talk to you in just a sec. I have some big takeaways as well in the context of the season and all these kinds of things. But Alex Cora is speaking now. Tanner Houck's manager is speaking now. So let's get you there first, and then we'll get into the rest of this night with you until 11 p.m. We got plenty of time to talk to you and do everything that we want to do. But let's go there right now to the Red Sox clubhouse. Alex Cora standing by after Tanner Houck's complete game shutout 2-0 win over the Cleveland Guardians.
Throwing strikes with good stuff. You know, the slider was really good. The split was great. And he induced a weak contact early on. He was, like, under control towards the end. I was just talking to Kenley, like, seems like he was just playing catch with Connor. And some quick outs. There was never a thought going to the bullpen, to be honest with you. Like, that was his game, and whatever happens, happens, you know. But we felt like he was going to keep the ball in the ballpark, right? So just roll with him, and he was really good. Huge. We win tomorrow, and you know, we saved the series. And you know, series-wise, you know, like, we all know where we're at, right? So it'd be good to come tomorrow. The bullpen needed it. We all needed it. So, but it was great. And tomorrow we'll decide what we're gonna do. It might be. I know Coop is gonna have a big part of it. But we don't know how we're gonna do it, if he's gonna start or we go with an opener against, you know, an opener, and then we go with him. So we'll talk about it. But everybody should be available.
How's Tanner able to be so efficient?
He's, you know, they've been working hard, and like I said, last year when he got hit, he was kind of like taking off. You know, delivery was clean. He was throwing strikes. We challenged him early on when we had to make a decision with the rotation. And at that point, I think it was Pivetta and Corey and Pax was coming back. We had a lot of options, right? And he, at one point, we talk about him going to the bullpen again. And he asked in the office, what I need to do. And everybody said, well, you got to throw strikes. And he had his next outing was a really good one. But if he can throw that stuff over the plate, it's tough to hit. It's tough to hit. And it seems like he gained momentum towards the outing. And for all the talk, right, like, can he go deeper into the game? Can he face the lineup for the third time? Well, that's a pretty good lineup. That they put the ball in play. They're good against righties. And he did an outstanding job. I think the ability of repeating his delivery. Obviously, he has some other weapons, but I think today was kind of like simple with him. The slider and the split were really, really good.
I might just have the record is 10 and 9, but just with this whole rotation, pretty much started.
We talk about it in spring training. They threw the ball well in spring, and we've been talking about them for a while here, right? When Tanner got called up in 2020. He was supposed to be a guy, right? And talk about Cutter and Bello. And you know, probably if we are somewhere else, they'll be talking about young guns, you know, the young guys. But they're not young anymore. You know, they got some innings under their belt, and last year wasn't great for them. And this year they made some adjustments in the offseason. I think the most important thing for them was being healthy, especially Witt and Tanner. And then Cutter obviously makes his adjustments physically, just like Bello. And they bought into the concept of throwing their best stuff over the plate. And they have different stuff now. You know, there's a cutter here, or the split is better, or the slider is better. And it's been fun to watch.
How receptive are asking about all these different things that are going on, injuries and stuff? One game kind of changes everybody's
attitude. 100%, you know, and to see the fans getting up, you know, and today's with Caroline was different. And the standing ovation at the end was great. Just they knew what was going on. And they were a little bit hesitant going into the ninth. Even Robert, the umpire, looked at me. I'm like, are you nuts? And he went out and he got a standing ovation. That's cool. That's what it's all about, and he deserves it, you know, and we're very proud of him. Yeah, I mean, both of them, like I said, they showed up in November in Fort Myers, worked with Pete and the group. They were very specific of what they wanted to do, and it's paying off right now.
And just, you know, with Connor, I think we're all surprised to see how much Reese was playing, but for him to, you know, have the power swing instead of playing well, maybe in a little reduced role, is that impressive?
I don't think it's a reduced role. I think we went with a hot hand early on, and today we felt like it was a good matchup. Probably he won't play tomorrow. So that's how it goes. But he's hitting the ball hard, the line right field. That was a good at-bat. The sack fly yesterday, that was a great at-bat. He's swinging more, but he's swinging the pitches in the zone. And he made some adjustments. And it's been fun to watch him develop.
Yeah, Alex, apologies if you covered this before I walked in. But, you know, tonight, complete game, you know, under 2 hours. Last night in Philadelphia, you know, complete game. Is that good for the game of baseball? And do you see more of this happening this season for whatever reason?
It's good for the families, you know, like we can go home early and enjoy it. You know, I think it's good. I think where we at in the game, in the business, you know, it's a better game as far as like the pace, you know. I think, you know, base running, you know, like stealing bases and running bases and playing good defense and throwing strikes is always good. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
and completely, do you think we may see more this year than we have?
Oh, I don't know. Probably here, I don't know. You know, we're not big fans of complete games here as a coaching staff.
That's a good one there at the end from Alex Cora. Alex Cora once again speaking here tonight at Fenway Park after the Red Sox beat the Cleveland Guardians 2-0. We're live on Red Sox Review. Cooper Boardman with you. Tanner Houck, if you just joined us, has thrown a complete game shutout for the Sox. They are now 10-9 and get a big win. First complete game of Tanner's career. The first complete game shutout by a Boston Red Sox pitcher at Fenway since Brian Johnson. That is a name. Wow. May 27th of 2017, first Red Sox starter to throw a 9-inning complete game shutout since Michael Wacha on June the 6th, 2022. That was on the road in Anaheim and the first last one here of all of this. But it's history. First Red Sox starter to throw a 9-inning complete game shutout in under 100 pitches since Clay Buchholz did it on August the 31st of 2014 in Tampa. It's extraordinary, and again, I just think back to spring training and being down in Fort Myers and Tanner Houck looking at all of us and saying, I want to start. That was the battle, right? Garrett Whitlock, is he the five? Is he the four? Are they going to sign someone else? You know, what happens if, you know, if Lucas Giolito stays healthy? Josh Winkowski was in the conversation. There were all these kinds of things, and at that point, you know, Tanner's splits, starter versus reliever, were pretty drastic. Not that he was a bad starter, but there was a big difference there. And he looked at all of us with that competitive glare that he has, and that we have seen over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years in a Red Sox uniform, and said, I want to start. And that was resounding because of the way that he pitched. He came to camp with the guy as the guy that had added the most velocity of any Red Sox starter. He came to camp with a purpose, and it feels as though, and we will talk about this over the course of the next hour with you till 11 on Red Sox Review tonight after the 1 hour, 49-minute game. It felt like that combination of how competitive and the fire that burns in him and what Andrew Bailey has come to do and instilled this level of confidence in all of the starters, in what we've seen from Cutter Crawford, in what we've seen from Nick Pivetta and Garrett Whitlock when they're not on the IL, in small doses, what we saw from Cooper Criswell, for example, last week over the weekend. But tonight we saw it and how it came together with Tanner Houck, and it made him look at, I think all of us look at him in a light that was different than when we woke up this morning. And if you don't feel that way, that's your problem. 617-7797-937. 617-7797-937. 37937 on the text line. All right, let's kick it off on the call line tonight. We're going to Revere. Bailey, welcome. You're the first to go tonight on Red Sox Review.
Hey, how you doing? We were at the game tonight, and I just want to say I've been to a lot of Red Sox games, and I was there tonight with my son. That Tanner Houck, he pitched a beauty of a game. What a special night it was at Fenway. It was nice to have that. It had been so long. And to see a game that didn't even go 2 hours, it was really, really special. So I don't know. I wasn't sure about Tanner, but I think we got something special there. So I got to say, guys, I'm really excited. That was a lot of fun tonight.
No doubt. Tell me about what it was like, because we're sitting up here and looking out at the ballpark. What was that like in the ninth inning from where you were?
Oh my God, we were up front. We had great seats, and the energy. It felt like it's been a while since it felt like that at Fenway. It was great. It was amazing. What a great special night to be there. I haven't had that much fun in Fenway, especially in April. I'll tell you, that was great.
Yeah, we got a decent night for it. Bailey, thank you, and glad you enjoyed. Glad your family enjoyed. That was something to me, and we all get, we tend to be a little prisoner of the moment, right? Certainly if you're with us last week during the Orioles series, we all live that way. But I will say, just looking out at this ballpark tonight and hearing the roar, particularly in the ninth inning, that was I was just kind of like walking through it. And I can think of kind of a couple of regular season moments over the last couple of years, but maybe 2021, that playoff run, like I think that wild card game against the Yankees was among the loudest things that I have heard here. And this was up there with that. I know the rest of the, you know, the Rays and the Astros series, there were moments, but that game in particular was just so unbelievably loud. And yeah, it's 32,000 in here tonight, so, you know, not as full as humanly possible, but not that far off. And it was there was a level of magic that only this ballpark brings, and to have a moment like that in this ballpark, there have not been enough of them over the last year. Tonight was a big one, and it speaks to so much. It speaks to that on the pitching side. This, and we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, even in the struggles on the pitching side of things right now in the Boston Red Sox organization. And I really don't mean to be prisoner of the moment when I say this. We really have been saying this. The pitching compass is so thoroughly pointed in the right direction. You know, and that's right. Like, oh, hot take, Coop. Like, they have a 2.74 ERA as a team. They lead baseball in team ERA coming into the day ahead of the Royals, Tigers, Guardians, and Yankees. It's not just the result, it's the process. And I'll share a couple of things on the other side of this break. Just talking with guys in the organization, on the major league side, on the minor league side. What Andrew Bailey, what Craig Breslow, what this group has done for the Red Sox organization, and taking a guy like Tanner Houck, who tonight becomes the ultimate example and the ultimate answer to all of the pitching prayers, all of the novenas said all winter long here around New England, Massachusetts, up and down Red Sox Nation. You know, a guy who had a 12.74 ERA the third time through the order last year as a starting pitcher, who is now one of two guys in baseball to go six scoreless three times this year, who tonight goes nine scoreless and throws the first complete game in his career in Tanner Houck. And on the other side, we'll just dig into how. Like, how did this happen? How are we here? And what it means for this season? And, of course, we'll talk to you. 617-7797-937. 617-7797-937. Fun night here at Fenway. It's going to get more fun with you for the next hour. We're back in a moment on Red Sox Review on WEEI.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Cooper Boardman, on WEEI.
See CG. CG. On Red Sox Review right now. Welcome. Fenway Park live right now. Cooper Boardman with you. Tanner Houck just threw a complete game shutout on the field that I'm looking at right now. 2-0 Sox win over the Cleveland Guardians. Hour 49 minutes. That means we got bonus time. Seconds, minutes, hours with you until 11 p.m. on Red Sox Review. Zach Kobach inside the flagship. Cooper Boardman here. 617-7797-937. 617-7797-937. Text line 237-937. Wow. Just wow. I was just sitting here, and this is one of these nights. And look, we've been talking a lot over the last couple of weeks, just about everything. And I was thinking about some of the conversations about baseball and what we want it to look like and what we want it to feel like and what we want the Red Sox to look like and what we want the Red Sox to feel like. And tonight was one of those nights here at Fenway Park, and I hope it came through on your radio, on your TV, if you've just gotten the car or whatever. I hope that it came through what a special night this was to watch, you know, this guy drafted by the Red Sox, homegrown by the Red Sox, all the way up through every rung of the minor league system by the Red Sox, in the bullpen, in the rotation, cast aside, injured, back, hit in the face by a line drive, back, into an offseason where people said, we need to go out and get, you know, four starters because this guy can't start. And what he's done, not only tonight, but over the course of the start of this season, what Tanner Houck has done over four starts in his major league season in 2024 and what he did tonight, a complete game shutout, the first since Michael Wacha in 2 years, over an hour and 49 glorious minutes here at Fenway Park, Tanner Houck does it. And man, that is just an amazing, amazing thing. There's so many angles of this, and yeah, you know, you've not won a playoff game tonight, but on a night where, shoot, in just the context of the season, the Red Sox so badly needed the length and needed somebody to give them something with Garrett Whitlock put on the IL. By the way, Tanner Houck's good buddy Garrett Whitlock earlier on today. They needed it bad, and he, like, not only did you need, like, a rising tide, he was, I mean, he brought you Noah's Ark tonight for the Red Sox. A complete game shutout for Tanner Houck at Fenway Park, and the first complete game of his major league career, obviously in the context of that, the first complete game shutout of his major league career. He threw 32 pitches through three. He threw 65 pitches through six. 74 pitches through 7, 86 through 8, and in the end, an 8-pitch ninth inning. He throws a 94-pitch, 9-inning, complete game shutout against the Cleveland Guardians. If there had been a 10th inning, Tanner Houck would have been on the mound for the 10th inning with the efficiency and the quality and more than anything else, the consistency, which is something that he has so desperately searched for. At times, it has felt, watching him and seeing him and being around him and seeing him as a starting pitcher, that maybe that consistency would never come. But it came tonight, and it's been here. It's been here since the start of the season. It's been here since the spring that he had so strong, high velocity. And tonight on April 17th, it is... I don't want to call it an arrival because it implies as though like he has not been good over the last month, but this is an announcement. This is a very big blaring letters, neon lights deal tonight for Tanner Houck because the Red Sox have not had this over the last couple of years, and they got it in full force here tonight. Cooper Boardman with you. It is Red Sox Review live on WEEI 617-7797-937-3793-7. We got a lot to do. We're going to talk to you in just a sec. I have some big takeaways as well in the context of the season and all these kinds of things. But Alex Cora is speaking now. Tanner Houck's manager is speaking now. So let's get you there first. and then we'll get into the rest of this night with you until 11 p.m. We got plenty of time to talk to you and do everything that we want to do. But let's go there right now to the Red Sox clubhouse. Alex Cora standing by after Tanner Houck's complete game shutout 2-0 win over the Cleveland Guardians.
Throwing strikes with good stuff. You know, the slider was really good. The split was great. He induced a weak contact early on. He was, like, under control towards the end. I was just talking to Kenley, like, seems like he was just playing catch with Connor. And some quick outs. There was never a thought going to the bullpen, to be honest with you. Like, that was his game, and whatever happens, happens, you know. But we felt like he was going to keep the ball in the ballpark, right? So just roll with him, and he was really good. Huge. We win tomorrow, and you know, we saved the series. And you know, series-wise, you know, like we all know where we're at, right? So it'd be good to come tomorrow. The bullpen needed it. We all needed it. But it was great. And tomorrow we'll decide what we're gonna do. It might be, I know Coop is going to have a big part of it, but we don't know how we're going to do it, if he's going to start or we go with an opener against, you know, an opener, and then we go with him. So we'll talk about it. But everybody should be available.
How's Tanner able to be so efficient?
He's, you know, they've been working hard. And like I said, last year when he got hit, he was kind of like taking off. You know, delivery was clean. He was throwing strikes. We challenged him early on when we had to make a decision with the rotation. And at that point, I think it was Pivetta and Corey and Pax was coming back. We had a lot of options, right? And he, at one point, we talk about him going to the bullpen again. And he asked in the office, what I need to do. And everybody said, well, you got to throw strikes. And he had his next outing was a really good one. But if he can throw that stuff over the plate, it's tough to hit. It's tough to hit. And it seems like he gained momentum towards the outing. And for all the talk, right, like, can he go deeper into the game? Can he face the lineup for the third time? Well, that's a pretty good lineup. That they put the ball in play. They're good against righties. And he did an outstanding job. I think the ability of repeating his delivery. Obviously, he has some other weapons, but I think today was kind of like simple with him. The slider and the split were really, really good.
I might just have the record is 10-9, but just with this whole rotation, pretty much.
We talk about it in spring training. They threw the ball well in spring, and they're. We've been talking about them for a while here, right? When Tanner got called up in 2020. He was supposed to be a guy, right? And you know, talk about Cutter and Bello, and then you know, probably if we are somewhere else, they'll be talking about young guns, you know, the young guys. But they're not young anymore, you know. They got some innings under the belt, and last year wasn't great for them. And this year, they made some adjustments in the off season. I think the most important thing for them was being healthy, especially Witt and Tanner. And then Cutter obviously makes his adjustments physically, just like Bello. And they bought into the concept of throwing their best stuff over the plate. And they have different stuff now. You know, there's a cutter here, or the split is better, or the slider is better. And it's been fun to watch.
How's the Sefton and Moreski about all these different things that are going on, injuries and stuff? One game kind of changes everybody's
attitude. 100%, you know, and to see the fans getting up, you know, and today's with Caroline was different. And the standing ovation at the end was great. Just they knew what was going on. And they were a little bit hesitant going into the ninth. Even Robert, the umpire, looked at me and like, are you nuts? And he went out and he got a standing ovation. That's cool. That's what it's all about. And he deserves it, you know, and we're very proud of him. Yeah, I mean, both of them, like I said, they showed up in November in Fort Myers, worked with Pete and the group. They were very specific of what they wanted to do, and he's paying off right now.
And just, you know, with Connor, I think we're all surprised to see how much Reese was playing, but for him to, you know, have the power swing instead of playing well, maybe in a little reduced role, does that impress you?
I don't think it's a reduced role. I think we went with a hot hand early on, and today we felt like it was a good matchup. You know, probably he won't play tomorrow. So that's how it goes. But he's hitting the ball hard, the line right field. That was a good at-bat. The sack fly yesterday, that was a great at-bat. He's swinging more, but he's swinging the pitches in the zone, and he made some adjustments, and it's been fun to watch him develop.
Yeah, Alex, apologies if you covered this before I walked in, but, you know, tonight, complete game, you know, under 2 hours. Last night in Philadelphia, you know, complete game, you only need 210 game time. Is that good for the game of baseball? And do you see more of this happening this season for whatever reason?
It's good for the families, you know, like we can go home early and enjoy it. You know, I think it's good. I think where we at in the game, in the business, you know, it's a better game as far as like the pace, you know. I think, you know, base running, you know, like stealing bases and running bases and playing good defense and throwing strikes is always good. So, yeah.
Yeah, do you think we may see more this year than we have?
Oh, I don't know. Probably here, I don't know. You know, we're not big fans of complete games here as a coaching staff.
That's a good one there at the end from Alex Cora. Alex Cora once again speaking here tonight at Fenway Park after the Red Sox beat the Cleveland Guardians 2-0. We're live on Red Sox Review. Cooper Boardman with you. Tanner Houck, if you just joined us, has thrown a complete game shutout for the Sox. They are now 10-9 and get a big win. First complete game of Tanner's career. The first complete game shutout by a Boston Red Sox pitcher at Fenway since Brian Johnson. That is a name. Wow. May 27th of 2017, first Red Sox starter to throw a 9-inning complete game shutout since Michael Wacha on June the 6th, 2022. That was on the road in Anaheim and the first last one here of all of this. But it's history. First Red Sox starter to throw a 9-inning complete game shutout in under 100 pitches since Clay Buchholz did it on August the 31st of 2014 in Tampa. It's extraordinary, and again, I just think back to spring training and being down in Fort Myers and Tanner Houck looking at all of us and saying, I want to start. That was the battle, right? Garrett Whitlock, is he the five? Is he the four? Are they going to sign someone else? You know, what happens if, you know, if Lucas Giolito stays healthy? Josh Winkowski was in the conversation. There were all these kinds of things, and at that point, you know, Tanner's splits, starter versus reliever, were pretty drastic. Not that he was a bad starter, but there was a big difference there. And he looked at all of us with that competitive glare that he has, and that we have seen over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years in a Red Sox uniform, and said, I want to start. And that was resounding because of the way that he pitched. He came to camp with the guy as the guy that had added the most velocity of any Red Sox starter. He came to camp with a purpose, and it feels as though, and we will talk about this over the course of the next hour with you till 11 on Red Sox Review tonight after the 1 hour, 49-minute game. It felt like that combination of how competitive and the fire that burns in him and what Andrew Bailey has come to do and instilled this level of confidence in all of the starters, in what we've seen from Cutter Crawford, in what we've seen from Nick Pivetta and Garrett Whitlock when they're not on the IL, in small doses, what we saw from Cooper Criswell, for example, last week over the weekend. But tonight we saw it and how it came together with Tanner Houck, and it made him look at, I think all of us look at him in a light that was different than when we woke up this morning. And if you don't feel that way, that's your problem. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. 37937 on the text line. All right, let's kick it off on the call line tonight. We're going to Revere. Bailey, welcome. You're the first to go tonight on Red Sox Review.
Hey, how you doing? We were at the game tonight, and I just want to say I've been to a lot of Red Sox games, and I was there tonight with my son. That Tanner Houck, he pitched a beauty of a game. What a special night it was at Fenway. It was nice to have that. It had been so long. And to see a game that didn't even go 2 hours, it was really, really special. So I don't know. I wasn't sure about Tanner, but I think we got something special there. So I got to say, guys, I'm really excited. That was a lot of fun tonight.
No doubt. Tell me about what it was like, because we're sitting up here and looking out at the ballpark. What was that like in the ninth inning from where you were?
Oh my God, we were up front. We had great seats, and the energy. It felt like it's been a while since it felt like that at Fenway. It was great. It was amazing. What a great special night to
amazing.
Be there. I haven't had that much fun in Fenway. Especially in April, I'll tell you. That was great.
Yeah, we got a decent night for it. Bailey, thank you, and glad you enjoyed. Glad your family enjoyed. That was something to me, and we all get – we tend to be a little prisoner of the moment, right? Certainly if you're with us last week during the Orioles series, we all live that way. But I will say just looking out at this ballpark tonight and hearing the roar – particularly in the ninth inning, that was I was just kind of like walking through it. And I can think of kind of a couple of regular season moments over the last couple of years, but maybe 2021, that playoff run, like I think that wild card game against the Yankees was among the loudest things that I have heard here. And this was up there with that. I know the rest of the, you know, the Rays and the Astros series, there were moments, but that game in particular was just so unbelievably loud. And yeah, it's 32,000 in here tonight, so, you know, not as full as humanly possible, but not that far off. And it was there was a level of magic that only this ballpark brings, and to have a moment like that in this ballpark, there have not been enough of them over the last year. Tonight was a big one, and it speaks to so much. It speaks to that on the pitching side. This, and we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, even in the struggles. On the pitching side of things right now in the Boston Red Sox organization, and I really don't mean to be prisoner of the moment when I say this, we really have been saying this, the pitching compass is so thoroughly pointed in the right direction. You know, and that's, right, like, oh, hot take, Coop. Like, they have a 2.74 ERA as a team. They lead baseball in team ERA coming into the day ahead of the Royals, Tigers, Guardians, and Yankees. But what it's not just the result, it's the process. And I'll share a couple of things on the other side of this break. Just talking with guys in the organization, on the major league side, on the minor league side, what Andrew Bailey, what Craig Breslow, what this group has done for the Red Sox organization, and taking a guy like Tanner Houck, who tonight becomes the ultimate example and the ultimate answer to all of the pitching prayers, all of the novenas said all winter long here around New England, Massachusetts, up and down Red Sox Nation. You know, a guy who had a 12.74 ERA the third time through the order last year as a starting pitcher, who is now one of two guys in baseball to go six scoreless three times this year, who tonight goes nine scoreless and throws the first complete game in his career in Tanner Houck. And on the other side, we'll just dig into how. Like, how did this happen? How are we here? And what it means for this season? And, of course, we'll talk to you. 617-7797-937. 617-7797-937. Fun night here at Fenway. It's going to get more fun with you for the next hour. We're back in a moment on Red Sox Review on WEEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference from my last outing to this outing was just not overthrowing and not trying to overdo it. I have that tendency where I care so much that I overtry. I give the 120% instead of, you know, just pulling it back and just giving it what I have. And very special night in terms of, you know, having all my pitches working in the way that I just felt comfortable throwing anything in any count.
It's the voice of Tanner Houck tonight. It's the voice of Tanner Houck after he threw a complete game shutout. It's 2024, and Tanner Houck threw a complete game shutout. I'm waiting on the calls. This is the portion of the night. It's like 10.01 p.m. This is where you're supposed to call and say the Red Sox don't give you enough length. Sorry. All right, Red Sox review. Cooper Boardman with you. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. 37937 on the text line. Zach Coe back inside the flagship. Talk to you in just a second here. Nine innings. First Red Sox complete game shutout since 2022. Last complete game by a Red Sox as well with Michael Wacha. And the first Red Sox complete game shutout at Fenway Park since 2017. Extraordinary, extraordinary night here on a night where the Red Sox desperately needed it. Tanner Houck gave it to them and then some. And as he said, he had everything working, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have your best night. And he had both. Here tonight. 617-779-7937. Back to the phones we go. And Carl in Westfield. Carl, you are on the air. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
Cooper.
What's up?
Man. Well, I'll tell you, listening to the significance, the fastest game since 2010, the new fastest nine innings. With only 94 pitches, under 100. Six in a game is a lot less than 100. This is wicked to see that in 3 years, he has developed into an ace. You know, and the Winona Winers and the Dorothy dramas with their stories of Trevor this and we're falling apart that and the screen door defense. True. However, there's two sides to every perspective. And if you look at the lighter side of how first of all, even in last place, we had a better record than like the other division when they're so terrible. And second of all, the catastrophic meltdowns and the defense dumps, it is almost comical to where if that adds to the pitcher's ERA, that would explain a lot of things. So when you remove that element, there's moments like tonight and the other night when Kentley had Trout, one of the best hitters, and the guy on third, there's Trout. I'm like, oh, Christ, here we go again. Because remember, when they dump it in the ninth, they do it unlike any other team you've ever seen, which is a different perspective. And the reality is there's shining moments like this. Like you said, it's a process. And this is one of the better nights where they got their money's worth. That guy that was there listening to him and witnessing it, it must be wicked to see that kind of control. And who's that guy? Jose Ramirez, one of the best hitters in the league, and shut down 3 out of 4 times. This was like Manny Ramirez or Mike Tyson Spinks. Not Leon Spinks, the brother Michael Spinks, were less than a minute. Bam! Knocked him out in the less than a minute. They got their money's worth tonight.
Well said, Carl. Thank you for the call. As always, thank you for the call. And you know, I think in the context of what you said there, too, what is different about this year than last year is that the pitching is a calming force. And I think that's better. I would rather have a team that pitches and is trying to figure out how on earth they hit versus a team that hits as, you know, the most underrated part of the Red Sox year last year is they were among one of the better offensive clubs in baseball. I didn't think they had enough pop necessarily, but they were a good offensive team. They scored a lot of runs. They led the league in doubles, you know, and so on and so forth, but they didn't pitch. And you can't win without pitching. And, you know, I kind of sat here watching the first couple of games. This is going to anger some people probably because nobody wants to say that the Boston Red Sox are like the Cleveland Guardians, because around here, you know, there are implications to that, and I get that. But, I watching the first couple of games of this series, it really does strike you, especially on Monday where it just kind of got away. Although last night as well where, you know, the score gets run up late, that these are two very similar teams. And if you look at the Guardians, they had a bad year last year. But if you look at the way that they were built under Terry Francona, I might add, when he was there, this is a team, generally speaking, and I know yesterday's score doesn't necessarily imply that, built around pitching and high contact on offense and doing just enough to win games. And if you look at their track record over the last 5, 6, 7 years, the Red Sox would be just fine by doing that, and especially in this division where if you can pitch, you can hang around. And we'll find out over time if they have enough offense. I think that's a huge question mark. But the people that wondered if this team could pitch after 1 week of this season where they were really good, the people who wondered after 2 weeks, after 3 weeks, and I recognize tonight's an easy night to sit here and say that, but this is different, man. This is just, this is so different. You know, I promised right before the break, I would just share a couple of things. And there are all these like little quotes kind of floating around in my mind from guys that I talk to, you know, in Fort Myers, in Boston, in Worcester, on the minor league side, on the major league side. And for those who don't know me, I'm in Worcester a lot of the time. And about how they describe what is different. You know, you can sit here and we can look at results, and tonight Tanner Houck gives the ultimate result, right? 9 scoreless, a complete game shutout, the first of his major league career to win over the Guardians at Fenway Park. That's great. But it is the latest in a long line for Tanner. It is the latest in a long line for all of these starters. The Red Sox, right now, 10:07, April 17th, 2024, sitting here, right now, lead Major League Baseball in ERA. At 2.74. Split it down. Go to starting pitching and look at what the Red Sox starters have done. They lead baseball in ERA, including tonight, with a 1.85 ERA. What was the narrative of the offseason? What was the narrative of December and January? That this team couldn't pitch, that it wouldn't pitch, that this front office didn't do enough to bring people in. And what they did, well, all of that noise was swirling above, they sat down and they went to work. And if you talk to these guys in the organization, Andrew Bailey reached out and he said, this is our plan for you. Anytime you talk about the new regime, it feels like a slight at the old regime. And I'm not doing that here. That's not what this is about. What this is about is what is unique about these dudes, the guys that you have in charge right now of your Boston Red Sox, of Craig Breslow, and of Andrew Bailey on the pitching side of things in particular. These are incredibly smart individuals, but there are a lot of incredibly smart individuals. There are more Ivy League graduates in major league front offices than there have ever been before. They are not only incredibly smart people, they also have figured out how to instill confidence in the people that they are trying to get the best out of. And so it's not just, hey, we're going to throw our best stuff in the zone. That's part of it, and that's a narrative, and that's a thing, and that's how baseball is played these days, right? The highest quality pitch in the most optimal places to throw it in the strike zone, that's a great philosophy. And that philosophy existed around here a year ago and the year before and the year before that. And it exists in Tampa and New York and Toronto and Baltimore across 95% of Major League Baseball organizations, if not the full 100. But what's happening here right now is the Red Sox have instilled confidence in these guys. They have sat Tanner Houck down. They have said, you are not going to throw your four-seam fastball. It is not a pitch that you are going to have success with. We are going to stick sinker, we are going to stick slider, and we are going to work very hard on the splitter. Well, tonight, and again, he had everything working. It's the best possible version of what you know of what he can be, Tanner Houck, tonight. But the sinker was excellent. He threw strike after strike with it. The slider, he threw tonight 37 sliders. 32 of the 37 sliders were strikes. He got 10 swing and misses. The splitter was otherworldly. 18 out of 32 in strikes, 4 swings and misses, and it was more than enough on top of the occasional little cut deal inside of the left-hand hitters. That was his night tonight, Tanner Houck. And that goes back to the beginning of spring training, where these guys sit these dudes down, and it happened with Tanner Houck, and it happened with Garrett, and even before spring training, and it happened with Garrett Whitlock, and it happened with Cutter Crawford, and so on down the list, all the way down to the end of the bullpen, to Joe Jakes, who was called up today from AAA Worcester. And they said, this is how we are going to attack you getting to the major leagues. Not, hey, all of us are going to try to throw a bunch of strikes with good stuff in the zone, and we're going to do our best, and those of you who are good are going to get there, and those of you who struggle to do that are not going to get there. That's not what they did. They went individualized and found out what makes each guy tick. What is their competitive nature, and how does that show itself on the field? And if you don't think that that works, if all of that sounds like eyewash to you, that's fine, but I'm telling you this. The starting pitching ERA in this organization right now at the major league level is at 1.85. The next closest team is the Kansas City Royals at 2.39. Their organizational philosophies. This is a team that has been in the top three in the usage of their sliders and sweepers throughout the year. That's great. They're throwing them late in outings. They're throwing them in minus counts, 2-1, 3-1, 1-0. You're seeing breaking balls in the zone for strikes. They are not throwing very many four-seam fastballs. They're throwing a lot more sinkers. There is science. There is data that might make your eyes glaze over. The point is, there are reasons for everything that they do. And the purpose that this organization right now is working with on the pitching side is the reason why nights like tonight can happen. Why Tanner Houck can go out there tonight and do something he has never done before in his professional career, which was pitch 8 full innings. Tanner Houck before tonight had never gone 8 full innings from the time that he was drafted in the first round out of the University of Missouri to April 16th yesterday, 2024. And tonight he goes 8 innings. Tonight he goes 9 innings and throws a complete game shutout against the Cleveland Guardians. And, it's just amazing what he does here tonight. But it is... And it's amazing to watch, and it culminates in the moment that our caller earlier was talking about in the car and all this, right? Like, he talked about all that and the moment and the feeling of being in this ballpark tonight, but it's a long road to get here, man. And Tanner Houck has walked it. That's the other part of it, too, and we got to hit a break in just a quick second. And Zach Coe will have your trending as well. We're with you, by the way, on Red Sox Review until 11 p.m., 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line. I see the calls. We'll get to you, I promise, right after the break. But it also takes buy-in on the other side. You need to have the right people in place. And Tanner Houck, from the moment he's been in this organization, has been the right person to put together an outing like this, to work the way that he has. And, man, fun to watch. Fun to be for all of us to be small parts of it tonight in complete game shutout land for Tanner tonight. All right, quick break. Zach Coe's got your trending. Then we come back. We talk to you. I also promise on the other side we're going to hear from Tanner Houck as well, his post-game conversation with us right here on WEEI. So we got much to do, much to enjoy on the other side. Back in a moment. It's Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
The pitch. Swinging a bounding ball toward the right side. Grab there by the shortstop. Hamilton throws. Ball game over. A three-hit complete game shutout for Tanner Houck, who's been brilliant. And the Red Sox have won it 2-0 as Tanner Houck spins the Major League's third complete game this season.
Three CGs in baseball this year. You heard it there from the GOAT, Joe Castiglione, on the call. Ronel Blanco, no-hitter for Houston. Ranger Suarez, 9 last night for Philadelphia. And Tanner Houck joins the list on the mantle tonight with the first shutout complete game sort of his career. 2-0 win over the Guardians. As we come back live from Fenway Park, Cooper Boardman here with you. Zach Coe back inside the flagship. An extraordinary night for the 27-year-old from Illinois, Tanner Houck, first-round pick of the Red Sox out of the University of Missouri. Homegrown kid on the way up through the system. Did not know if he was going to be a starting pitcher coming into the year. And he's a starting pitcher, but you probably figured that out already over the course of the evening. That highlight, by the way, comes to you tonight from the Nissan Red Sox postgame show. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself and shop your local Nissan store at nissanusa.com today. Tanner Houck, throws the complete game shutout. Red Sox, by the way, their two runs came in the third and fourth innings, if you just popped in with us. A balk call. I do just want to clean it up, and we'll talk to you in just a second. 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line. The balk call was, and we've got final confirmation after the game today. You have to declare whether you're in the windup or the stretch. And I guess the way that the rule is written is you have to do it at new this year, each batter. And so it was a new batter, and their pitcher went out of the switched and went out of the windup and did not declare. And with a runner on third base, that's an immediate balk. It doesn't seem like maybe the spirit of that rule, and maybe it needs to be rewritten, but the interpretation was correct by the umpiring crew tonight. And Red Sox say thank you. They went up 1-0 on that. And then Connor Wong hit his third home run of the year. Guy who hit at AAA quite a bit. He's starting to really do it at the major league level. And obviously it was a big lift. And it was two runs after four. And Tanner Houck needed just one over nine innings. And it felt like he could have gone 10, 11, 12. Like he could have Christy Matthews in this all the way, as long as the Red Sox would have needed, because it looked easy tonight. And it certainly is not at this level against that team. Red Sox review live on WEI. Let's get back to the phone. 617-779-7937. Going down to New Orleans. Glenn, great to hear from you. Welcome to Red Sox review.
Hello, Cooper. Well, tonight was enjoyable. That's the kind of game that I grew up with in the 60s and 70s. Well-pitched game. Would have liked to see a little more offense from the Sox, but we'll take the win. But you made a comment earlier, and I wasn't going to talk about this, but about these Ivy Leaguers and how smart they are and whatnot. You do realize those are the people that are responsible for the velo and spin search that's causing all of the arm injuries. And based on everything I've been reading, listening to on podcasts, changes are coming. They're going to be forced down the throats of the Ivy Leaguers, because the Ivy Leaguers won't make the changes themselves, because all they know is velo and spin. They don't know pitching, command. They know velo. If you don't throw 95, you won't get noticed. So I know a couple of Ivy Leaguers have all my life. They're no more intelligent than you or me. So a little easing up on that, because they're the problem. They started this whole thing.
Here's the thing, Glenn. I think just the one thing on that, and I don't know if we lost you there or not at the end.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you're still here. Yeah, so I just have this conversation. So I understand what you're saying, and I don't think you're wrong. Like, yes, I think that there's pretty much no question that at some level the obsession with velocity and spin has led to these arm injuries. I would also say that this tends to get oversimplified on both sides. There's one side of it where, you know, is everything that you just said, and again, I agree with everything you said. What I would say, too, is what we have right now in baseball is some of the most incredible, like, and people get angry about, you know, some of the guys that don't go long enough in outings and all kinds of things. But I do stand by that if you sit and watch a game on a nightly basis, and Tanner Houck's a great example of it tonight, guys are doing things on the baseball field that have truly never been done before. And that's not an insult to previous generations. This is just how – this is what happens over time. Guys are throwing fastballs harder than they ever had before. They're throwing sliders with more break than they ever had before. And there is the injury, and the game is going to have to reckon with all of that. But, Glenn, I don't know. I sit here as someone who loves the game from probably a different generation than you, and that's cool too. And I think that's kind of beautiful.
Well, I understand your viewpoint on this, but the game was played, you know, even after the 80s, even into the 90s, this analytics really took off I'd say around 2005, but 2010, right 2004. Up in there.
Yep, absolutely.
The game is not as enjoyable to watch on television as it used to be with the pitching changes, 5 1/3. I refer to this era as the 5 1/3 era. Like you said, the 5 1/3 is the average. Well, I don't like average. I aspire to be above average, and everybody should be. So this 5 1/3, that's what I hate, because then you have the parade of relievers that come in, and all these guys on TV talk about, I turn the volume down, is the analytics, oh, that launch angle, that exit velo, his BABIP, and, you know, all of these things that even up-to-date fans, I don't think, can tell you what goes into these statistics, weighted runs created plus. And all, you know, just I love listening to Ron Darling and Keith Hernandez, because they talk about the strategy of the game going on, and they tell stories, funny stories about their playing days. That's entertaining.
Yeah. And I think that I think, Glenn, thank you for the call. I could do this with you all night, and we should on a different night where there aren't a million callers. Let's do it sometime. Thank you for the call. I ended up the other day on Red Barber. I was listening to Red Barber do a Dodgers game from, it must have been 1950. They had just started using lights for games that started in the afternoon and went into the night. And he talked, and somebody hits a ball, and he sits there and he says, you know, that must have been 95 miles an hour off the bat and gone 380 feet. And he's just sitting there eyeballing it. And I think we gatekeep stats, right? Like, and I'm somebody like you said WRC plus. I love that stat. I think that's a great stat. I think it's basically just an aggregation of all of your offense. And if you're at 100, you're the average. And if you're above 100, you're better than average. If you're below it, you're worse than average. But we gatekeep stats like that, right? People say that, or people say it on a telecast or a radio broadcast. And it's like, what are you talking about? I just want to watch a guy hit a ball and run to first base and dive and get dirty and celebrate or whatever, right? Like, and so Glenn, I understand completely, but going back to the Red Barber thing of this, like you listen to him and he was giving you information at that time in 1950, 74 years ago, that now I can look down on my computer screen and say, wow, that was hit at 99 miles an hour. And that went 404 feet. And that's fascinating. And so I think to me, it's not so much about the information. It's about how we give people the information. We've gotten a little bit off topic from Tanner Houck, but you know, and then the other part of it, this is just the last little bit on that, because just to tie it back to what Tanner did tonight, we were talking about the Ivy Leaguers, and yeah, they're no smarter than you or I in so many ways, but a guy like Andrew Bailey, a guy like Craig Breslow, what they do is not, they're not in this organization gatekeeping the information. They're not saying, I went to Yale, I'm smarter than you. They're not saying that. They're not saying, I went to Yale, I know that if you throw a slider like this, or you do this kind of exercise, you'll get this much velo, because I said so, I'm better than you. They're doing the complete opposite, and that's why we're seeing results. They're saying, hey, we have this information, this is how we think that you can learn best, and if you want to intake it and use it for yourself, you can. If you don't, we'll do it a different way. And that's learning, man. And that's how Tanner Houck gets to a spot tonight where he is able to throw as many strikes as he has this year and tonight versus the years past. That's where information and analytics, which is like this boogeyman of a term, that's where information can really help. Because, I really do firmly believe this, information like that in this organization is going to create a lot of nights like tonight, which is like the game of the past, which is pitching to contact, which is, you know, speedy games and no pitching changes, and so on and so forth. And they are doing it with this in the starting rotation, and it's been a joy to watch. So Glenn, thanks for the call. I really enjoyed that. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. All right, back to the phones. We're hitting all of America tonight. Going down to Florida. David, welcome. You are on the air on Red Sox Review.
Good evening. You know, it's great when we get all these out-of-state callers. We had, whatever happened to
to Sean from Idaho. And back when Barrett was doing it, Sean from Idaho, there was Ken from California, there was some other guy from Phoenix. What are those guys going to call back?
It's a good point. Sean we've gotten Where California, we got Indiana, we've got Florida, we got New York. So we're working our way there. What do you got from Florida?
You know, well, two things. I mean, first, I want to congratulate Alice Cora. I mean, it's really encouraging that he finally had a mental breakthrough and demonstrated a moment of lucidity by extending the starters tonight and giving Tanner the opportunity to not even necessarily go the whole game, but at least go beyond five because he earned it. And I mean, there are a couple of games when I thought that he pulled the starters too early, but he let him go tonight, so that's a good thing. Let's see if he learns from it. But I also have to bring this up. And, I mean, I know I'm going to sound all negative and stuff, but why in God's green? I mean, a couple of days ago, I don't remember. I don't think it was yesterday, but I think it was Monday or Sunday, he put Rafaela at shortstop. And then all of a sudden he puts him back in center field and then keeps Hamilton at short. Why did he put him in shortstop once and then all of a sudden just throw him back in center field? I mean, we need an explanation
so
for that.
There is an explanation. The reason is they're going to put they want left-hand versus right-hand matchups. So they need to get as many lefties in the lineup when there's a right-hand starter. So when it's so they're splitting them. So you got a left-handed shortstop in Hamilton and a right-handed shortstop in Rafaela, and I think that's how it's going to go.
Hamilton had another miscue today when he didn't step on the bag. I mean, that little chopper down the first baseline that he beat out, but he failed to step on the bag, so he was tagged out after running past first base.
I understand.
Like the third or fourth inning.
I just like it's April 17th.
Really?
I mean, don't.
Shortstop is more important than center field. Hollitz has to prioritize things, and shortstop is more pivotal than center field. And if you don't realize that, Alice, then you have no business being where you are. I mean, you learn that in Fallen League.
David,
I
understand, and I don't think that that's unfair. But they, and I get that over 3 weeks here, right? Like what David Hamilton defensively has not been, it's not been the standard that you need. But they believe in him. They believe that he plays a good defensive shortstop.
I mean, well, that would mean they're right just because they believe in him. I mean, it doesn't mean they're right.
I'm just trying to give you the understand. I understand it looks crazy, right? But that's it. That's the decision making process, and it's that simple.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's why we question them, because the actions, as we all learn when we're 3 and 4 years old, actions speak louder than words. And Cora said many times I tweeted this. He believes in them. They demonstrated it in camp. Well, I mean, games are not the same as practice. Hello.
No, they're not. But tonight they played good defense. Generally,
yeah,
you know, you look at what they've done.
They can do that for 3, 4, 5 games in a row.
Yeah. Look, we are all wondering that. And David, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. As always, they're going to do that. They're going to give David Hamilton his opportunity against right-hand pitching. They have to. The way this lineup is constructed, it has to be that way right now, because if you don't do that, then Willier Abreu's not going to get at bats. Which is an issue. Willier Abreu's too good of a player not to get at bats, particularly against right-hand pitching.
Sorry to cut you off.
No,
not
please.
For nothing, but originally what pushed Rafaela back into center field on Monday was the injury to O'Neill Endeavors.
Right.
So we don't necessarily know that that's not going to be their plan once O'Neill is back from this cut/concussion or whatever it may be.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a fair point, Zach. That they're handcuffed, right? Like there are injuries here. There's a lot going on the infield and all this. But I do think that Rafaela has to play some shortstop. He doesn't necessarily, for the moment, have to be your everyday shortstop. And they don't have a roster that supports that at this point. And that's not an assault on the front office. My God, it's Trevor Story got hurt as your number one shortstop, and then Romy Gonzalez comes up as your right-hand shortstop hitting option, and he gets hurt. And then, there's the collision between Rafi and Tyler O'Neill, and now they're both hurt. And Rob Refsnyder is hurt. and Vaughn Grissom is hurt. And both those guys are on their way back in AAA. And so now I just named center field, left field, third base, shortstop, and second base. Almost two down the depth chart on all of that. And so you ask, why is David Hamilton playing every single day? And we can get into the splits and all sorts of things like that. That's one of the many reasons that, you know, all of this. And again, he was a better defensive shortstop in the minor leagues than he has shown early on. He is a guy getting his feet wet at the big league level for the very first time. We could very well be sitting here at the end of May saying, wow, he really did turn it around. And that does not excuse anything that's happened over the last few weeks, to be very clear. But it's April 17th, and this team is 10-9, and they're pitching well. And there are nights that are going to be very frustrating, but there are also going to be nights where where you get the magic that you did tonight. And again, I think Seidon Rafael personally needs to play some shortstop. There's a reason why he did at the start of the week. There's a reason why you will see him there once again. I don't know about 7 days a week. That's a big, big jump for him. And he still is trying to figure out how to hit at this level. You're just asking a lot there. Red Sox Review Live, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. Beyond all of that, this night is about Tanner Houck. And after the game tonight, he stopped by the booth, talked with Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming. We've got that for you. I just want you to hear it and hear what he sounded like and his joy and his moment tonight. So let's do it. This is post-game today after Tanner Houck's first career complete game and first career complete game shutout.
Standing outside the dugout, and every single member of the staff came to congratulate him. Tanner, I would imagine you're ready for a hot shower after the ice water bath, which on a night when it's 45 degrees, we'll talk about that later. But congrats, that was just absolutely awesome on the mound. When did you sense that this could be a special night?
It all starts with the preparations, the 4 days leading up to it. Putting together, good 4 days. After my last outing, wasn't really happy with how I performed, so I knew I had to go out there and make a statement.
Well, you got 9 strikeouts, Tanner, but also you got so many outs early in counts, several on the first pitch. And was that part of your game plan, knowing that this team was very aggressive?
Yeah, I we keep preaching, and we've preached it since day one of spring training, of strike one, strike two. That's what we're trying to do every time we go out there. With that being said, it just is going to happen that way whenever you're pounding the strike zone, going right after guys.
More splitters tonight than usual, Tanner. Was that a game plan, or is it just that you felt that pitch early on in this start?
That's a pitch I've been working on for 4 or 5 years now, and it's a pitch that I've put a lot of effort, a lot of time, I wouldn't say perfecting, because in this game you can't perfect anything, but it's a pitch I put a lot of time and effort into making better, and just ultimately going out there tonight with it and being able to throw it kind of whenever I wanted to was a great feeling. It definitely shows all that hard work.
Well, your slider was just awesome, and you got some really ugly swings, three-quarter swings where they made no contact.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that I know that my sinker and slider are always going to be my main go-to pitches, but whenever I can complement that with a split, I mean, it's just like icing on top.
Lots of swords tonight. Last thing, Tanner, your really good buddy Garrett has to go on the IL. I know he didn't want to do that, but just trying to protect him. Do you feel, going to the mound today with what's happened of late with Nick and Garrett and that the bullpen's overworked, did you take the mound with a little extra sense of purpose, knowing what this club needed?
I would say that every time I go out there, I try and go 9 innings. And I know that we're human and we're not perfect, but to be able to go out there tonight and throw 9, help out the bullpen just a little bit, great feeling. Bounce back tomorrow, got, I think, a 1 o'clock game. Go out there and, try and tie the series up.
Thank you so much. Don't get hypothermia, okay?
I'll try not to. I'm standing by a heater right now.
Get warm. Thanks so much. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Just the third complete game in the major leagues this year.
Amazing. Amazing stuff.
And it was a post-Gatorade bath, Tanner Houck talking tonight with Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming. Complete game shutout for Tanner. Live on Red Sox Review right now from Fenway Park. Cooper Boardman with you. 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line. We are with you until 11 o'clock, so you got something to say. Let's get it in here. You can also tweet at me at Cooper K. Boardman, at Cooper K. Boardman. You know, just a couple things. We just got to hit a break in just a quick sec before we finish out here. But, again, you could just hear what it meant. And all these guys care. He has so many times had to carry the load for this pitching staff. You know, he was really very, I thought, and Alex Cora said something similar to this earlier, it felt like he was very close to the best version of himself, or at least was like on a plane to getting there right before he took that line drive off the face at Yankee Stadium last year. And it makes you wonder what could have been, because I think tonight you saw some bit of what could have been. And it's that coupled with everything that we were talking about earlier with what they've done in the pitching development side here at the here at Fenway Park with Boston Red Sox. And it has just added up to something pretty special. And it was tonight. And it's something to celebrate, no doubt about it. All right, one last break. We'll finish up with you, 617-779-7937. Get you set up for a series finale. This is fun because we talk to you right now, and then we'll talk to you very soon on the 135 first pitch tomorrow. But we'll get into all that on the other side. And one last big thought on Tanner Houck comes your way next. It's Red Sox Review. It's live on WEEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Last little bit tonight on WEEI and Red Sox Review. Live from Fenway Park still. It is, I'm sitting here looking at Fenway. It is dark, and we are just a couple hours removed, a little bit less, from Tanner Houck throwing a complete game shutout. This place truly was rocking. And, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about opposing fan bases coming in here and making noise. And we spent a lot of time talking about how there have been some seats that, you know, are not as full as you maybe hoped they would be, and et cetera, whatever. Tonight, this place had some magic to it. And it's amazing what happens when the team on the field obliges. And this is a special place to have a special night. And Tanner Houck did that, first complete game shutout of his major league career. Cooper Boardman with you. Last bit, as we said, 617, we'll get you the number, 7797-937, 617-7797-937. The reason why all the numbers are swirling is because there are so many little stats. I'll just read you just a couple of these on the way out here. We've been talking about it all night. It is the first MLB pitcher to toss a 9-plus strikeout Maddux, which is a 9-inning complete game shutout under 100 pitches. Greg Maddux made it famous in a game as quick as the one as it was tonight, which was 1 hour and 49 minutes, since Greg Maddux himself on August the 20th of 1995. Wow. This is also the Red Sox shortest game, and it's all thanks to Tanner Houck, since 1999. Oh my gosh. Zach, were you alive? I was barely alive.
I was also barely alive. Yeah. I was born in January of 99. So
yeah, we're outing ourselves there, but that's okay. I've seen the rocket. Don't worry. Tanner Houck tonight does something that, regardless of your age, is worth enjoying. We have talked across all generations on this particular Red Sox Review about what tonight was like, and That was really darn cool and really big for this team. And that's where we want to leave it tonight. With that, where, you know, this is a team, you know, I go back to one of the callers earlier who was talking, you know, Alex Cora, not enough length, whatever. I just want you to understand that among starting pitching in the American League this year, there are only four teams that have thrown more innings than the Boston Red Sox. Like, they are getting, it's not length relative to the 1980s, but it is length relative to to the rest of baseball, which is the world that we live in, where all of those other teams play in baseball. Red Sox starters have thrown 102 innings. They're one-third of an inning behind the Rangers, third in the American League. They're six innings behind the Seattle Mariners with all of those talented young starters, and they're just 11 innings behind the Kansas City Royals, who are off to one of the greatest starts of this decade for them since they went to the World Series. So, the Red Sox are getting just under 5.5 innings, right? Like somewhere in the middle of 5 1/3 and 5 2/3 from their starting pitchers. That's enough. That's enough. And it's enough because the bullpen has been solid, and I recognize that this is maybe not the week to say that, but this is, this is an upper echelon bullpen. When it's going right, they've had some blow-ups and they've had some extra innings that have really hurt that. But I believe in the bullpen long-term. And I believe in the bullpen long term because of what they've done with the starting pitching. And if you can do what they have done with these starters, you can do it out of the bullpen. And they're going to have to make some decisions, and they're going to have to get the right guys in place. Cam Buser is a great example of a guy at AAA who's got plus stuff. Zach Kelly is another example of someone who's throwing the ball really well right now at AAA. And I wonder if those two guys find their way into this bullpen at some point in the relative future. Joe Jakes was the call today. Be interesting to see kind of the roster shuffling after the game tomorrow. Brandon Bernardino will get the start, by the way. I don't know if you weren't with us earlier. The Red Sox have that open spot tomorrow with the Whitlock and Pivetta injuries and so on and so forth. This was, I guess, theoretically Pivetta's spot, although we're so far down the road from him getting placed on the IL that it's really nobody's spot. And it'll be a Brandon Bernardino opener situation, and we'll see how long that he can go. He has one of the other things that, and this is just like one quick note, and again, we're going to play the music in a second, get on out of here. But the situation with the Red Sox at the AAA level is they're having these guys throw multiple innings. And so they're getting looks in ways that they didn't last year. Last year, so often, they would throw one inning at AAA, get up to the major leagues, and have not gone two or three innings. You can remember Caleb Wirt doing that a couple of times, some others. So, to have that in your back pocket where you feel like Bernardino could get you two and maybe Cooper Criswell can get you four, and then all of a sudden you're in the back end. Chase Anderson hasn't pitched since Monday. It'll be a piece together deal. We kind of know that. But, that's where we're at right now. And the good news is nobody threw but Tanner Houck tonight. Nine innings, complete game shutout. The first since 2022 for the Boston Red Sox. The eighth in the last decade for the Boston Red Sox. He joins, once again, the names: Michael Wacha, Chris Sale, Brian Johnson, Stephen Wright, Rich Hill, and Clay Buchholz a couple of times as the guys who have done it in the last 10 years. Fun night tonight at Fenway. Thanks for sharing a little bit with us tonight on Red Sox Review. That is it for us. I'm off a little bit over the course of the next few days. Back with you next week. Don't you worry about it. All right, that's it. Zach Coe, big thanks to him. Back inside the flagship, I'm Cooper Boardman saying so long from Fenway. This has been Red Sox Review on WEEI.